Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24, where we see that you have to be who you are in Christ. God made you in a specific and special way, for a reason and for His glory. If you try to be someone else, it will not be a good fit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24.
Good evening, everyone. If you have a Bible, you could turn it open to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. If you didn't bring one with you tonight, you can raise your hand, and Mike and some of the ushers in the back have Bibles that they'd love to bring to you at your seat so that you can follow along. Again, as we move through the Word of God on Wednesday nights, I think if I were in the seats and I wasn't the one who was teaching, I'd be really bored if I didn't have a Bible to follow along with. And we handle a lot of text on Wednesday evenings, typically. Last week, we had the intention of moving through three chapters. We only got through one. But even still, I mean, it's so many verses to try to follow along with if you don't have a Bible in front of you. And not to mention, you know, in addition to that, it's important, too, that you see that what comes forth from the pulpit here is just Scripture. It's not us coming up with our own ideas. It's not our cleverness, our own ingenuity. It's simply just us doing our very best to teach God's Word simply. So it's important that you have a Bible, that you follow along. If you don't own one and Mike just gave you one, it could be a gift from the Lord to you. You can keep that and enjoy it as long as you promise that you'll read it. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, I'm going to pray and we'll move right through here God's word tonight. God, we thank you for this time, Lord. I feel like this place is such a refuge, Lord. It's such a haven to us who are here tonight, God, at least the most of us who call this our home. Lord, it's a refuge from the storm. It's a place, Lord, where we receive sanity. Lord, it's so insane out there. God, everywhere we look and everywhere we turn, there's so much negativity, God. It's so dreary. And we're so thankful, God, that we've come to your house tonight and that you've given to us, Lord, the revelation that you deem necessary for us to have of yourself through Scripture. And we're asking you tonight, Lord, that you would open your word to us. Silence, Lord, our hearts, our minds. Lord, we all are probably coming from a crazy day. We're smack dab in the center of the work week, Lord, and we need that ability that comes from you just to separate ourselves from all of it, God, so that we could just receive what it is, Lord, that you see fit to be our portion tonight. I pray, Lord, that you take my weak, futile mouth, Lord, words, and use it as an instrument in your hand to speak forth to your people. That you'd reward them for coming out on this cold February night, Lord. That you'd speak words of confirmation, words of exhortation, maybe words of correction. Whatever it is that all of us need, God, I pray that no one would leave here tonight without receiving, Lord, from you what you've intended for them to receive. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you just to fall now on this place. And, Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, remember the writer here, he is speaking to post-exilic people who had been in Babylonian captivity for so many of years. And it's important to the Holy Spirit that these listeners, these readers, understand their heritage, who they are in Christ, just like it's important for you to understand that tonight. And David here, where we are in our story, he's older in years, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 23. He was full of days. That's a really nice way of saying, you know, he's about to die. He's full of days. He's at the end of his life, and he is building a boy, as we saw last week, and he's readying the boy to build a building. and that is the temple of the Lord. He had a piece of real estate that was entrusted to him to prepare to be developed and built as unto the Lord, and then he had a son that he was seeking to build. And it tells us in verse 1 of chapter 23, we're going to hang with this verse for a few minutes, so don't get too antsy, and we'll read it in totality here, and then we'll sort of just mull over it a little bit, because I think what it says is important. It says, so when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. When David was old, I like that, when he was full of his days, to me that speaks so much of not just being full of days like he was around for a long time, but also just so many scars he was full of. It seems like the more days that you have on earth, the more scars you accumulate. And everyone's scars tell a story, don't they? I mean, the more that you sort of just live on planet earth, you just go through more things, more difficulties, more hardships. And if you're in Christ, it's more opportunity for the Lord to show himself faithful and strong in your life. And it builds your testimony. It gives you that ability to relate to more people, to connect more people, to love, right? To love people greater, to be a little bit more compassionate, to be a little bit more empathetic and understanding. A person who never really has gone through anything, a person that's inexperienced in life so many times is harsh. Very matter of fact. Everything is very black and white. It's just cut and dry. But a person that's gone through some stuff, they seem to be a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his leadings. A little bit more gracious, a little bit more tender. A little bit more like, man, you know, that could be me if it weren't for the grace of God, right? There's more of that type of approach. And David is full of days, but he's also full of scars. It's one thing to have a lot of years at the end of your life to say, hey, I lived this life for a lot of years, but it's another thing to have a lot of life to the years that you lived. You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing to have a lot of years, right? Like, I lived a lot of years, but it's another thing that while I'm living, there was a lot of life to my years. And I think that that comes from living for the Lord. No matter where you are tonight numerically, like, you have life added to your years. Abundant life, like real life. You're not just sort of like an animated zombie moving through this world, but like there's actual life, there's vibrancy when you're living your life for Christ. There's a fullness to your life. I want to show you something. I don't do this a lot, but I think it's important sometimes. Hold your place here if it's easy for you and hop over to Acts chapter 13. Just one verse. I want to show you Paul's commentary of this very truth as he's preaching this sermon thousands of years later after David is dead at Antioch. I like what he says here. I just want to show you how he phrases sort of just the sum of David's days. In verse 36, and if it's not convenient for you to come, if it distracts you, because we're only going to be here for a moment, you could jot it down. It's Acts chapter 13, verse 36, and Paul says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, then he fell asleep. Like, he was on earth to do just that, just to serve his own generation. It's almost as though the Holy Spirit's commentary is the fullness of days comes from being faithful to serve the generation that God has you on the earth living with. All of you here tonight, there's a calling that God has on you. There's a calling that God has on me, and it is to serve our generation, to bring Christ to men and to bring men to Christ, that to whatever degree and whatever capacity that Christ calls us to do it. The word serve here means minister. It means, it's like speaking of somebody who rows a boat. Like, you're the one who's sort of rowing the boat of people to Jesus. You're the one, maybe your job here, if you would, is to bring people to church. Maybe your job is to bring church to people. Maybe you got friends and family that would never step in these doors. They have preconceived notions and ideas of what might happen to others, to the building itself, if they walked in. They think there's no way I could ever go there. So you are the under rower. You are the one who is to minister and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ as an ambassador of the truth to them. And we're here to serve our own generation. We live in a very me, like culture. And I think a Wednesday night Bible study is good to sort of pick our heads up a little bit, to lift us, take our Bibles and lift our chins like off of ourselves. Our eyes are so down and focused on ourselves, and just sort of to look at the world around us. And to remember, like, yeah, Christ blessed us with so many of things, But ultimately and supremely, like, we're here to be his disciples and his ministers and to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the world that's around us. We can get so caught up, right? I mean, in the middle of the work week, we get so caught up, all of us could. We could get so enwrapped with all of the things that are around us, all of the news, all of the pressures, all of the anxieties. Half those songs that they just let us in were about anxieties and fears. And man, if we're not careful, we could become just like the world around us and lose the hope and begin to despair as if we have no hope. But we got a hope, right? I mean, we got a hope that's an anchor for our souls. And it's what sustains us and strengthens us and enables us to be the rowers of the boat, to be people who are here to serve our generation. Is it all right to make money? Absolutely. Is it all right to have a good career? For sure. Is it okay to get married at your own risk? Is it cool to have kids? Yeah, I mean, the Lord says that we're supposed to do that. Like, all of those things are great. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this world. We're not Debbie Downers. We're not the church and Christ and the Bible. It's not a buzzkill to your life. It adds to your life. It's an abundant life. It doesn't take from you. It adds to you. It adds fullness of days to your years. And yet, at the same time, though, our focus should be the Lord, the Lord, and the Lord. So I just want you to see that verse. After he had served his own generation. Back into 1 Chronicles here, David was old. He was full of days, full of scars. God still wants to use him. God still wants to use you if you're full of scars tonight. He's not ashamed of your divorce. He's not ashamed of your abortion. He's not ashamed of your past lifestyle. The church, Christians, they could be so nasty. They could be so mean. They could be so obnoxious. They could hold their signs up and scream in your face and make you think that God is done with you, that he's ousted you, that you've gone too far. He's not ashamed of anything that has to do with you. He called you despite you. He called you knowing what you would be, what your days would be. He knew they were going to be full. Moms and dads, you know what it's like raising your babies when they're young. It's a full day. Your husband comes home from work, or guys, if you're home with the kids, I don't know why you're home with the kids, but if you're home with the kids and your wife comes home and they say, how was your day? An honest answer would be, it was full, right? It's full. It's busy. It's nonstop. Breakfast ended before I knew it was lunch. Lunch ended before I knew it was dinner and homework and the dog and this and that. It's a full day raising your children. God understands it's going to be a full day. It's going to be a full many of days raising you, raising me, raising us. And he's all right with it. It's just a father's love. He's all right with it. Full of days, full of scars. So much to offer. So much to offer. I just want to say one more thing on this, and then we'll move to verse 2. I just don't want anyone to get robbed tonight of a truth, and that is that God can't use you. Nobody hears beyond God being able to use their lives. Because the whole Bible study, it's going to be redundant in some senses as we move through these chapters, is going to be this enlisting of God calling his people to be used. What you're going to see here, if you read ahead, is there's going to be a list of names. And for you, they don't mean too much. But if your name was in here, it'd mean a whole lot. And the people whose names were in here that they're reading this of, they're finding their identity, they're finding their calling, it meant the world to them. And as we move through this tonight, and I keep seeking to apply these ancient truths that are relevant to today, I don't want you to start dismissing yourself. Because the devil wants to whisper in your ear, not you, though. The person next to you, God's called. The person next to you, he can use their scars. The person in front of you or behind you, their blemishes aren't too great. But the pastor doesn't know about you. If he knew about you, then he wouldn't be including you in this. The enemy's going to want to whisper that to you. He's going to want to tell you that. There's just no way God can get past the things you've done. And he wants you to get sort of hung up on certain things. And I just want you to be set free that David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David was filled with pride. David was a man of bloody hands. And yet his days were full because of the grace of God. That's for somebody. So he gathers together all of the princes of Israel. We're in verse 2. And it says, with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from age of 30 years old and upward. And their number by their polls, or literally head by head, man by man, was 38,000. It's a lot. And it says, of which 24,000, and you guys that love the depth of God's word, you'll notice a theme here of the number 24. And it correlates with Revelation. correlates with heaven. Remember, everything that David is going to instruct here is divine instruction from the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25 tells us that. Nathan, the seer, the prophet, other prophets are involved. He's getting direct revelation from the Lord as he lays out this earthly temple. Okay, this parallels heaven. I hope that interests you a little bit. Parallels heaven. The number 24 is prevalent as we move through this. We see that here with the Levites and the amount of those who are raised up by the Lord. There are the 12 apostles, and then there are the 12 tribes of Israel that are very known throughout the book of Revelation. And so you see sort of that similarity here numerically. It says there was 24,000, verse 4, that were set forward the work of the house of the Lord. And it says that there were 6,000 officers and judges. These are like spiritual influencers scattered throughout the land of Israel to help tend to the needs of the nation. Moreover, 4,000 were porters. Like, those are the ushers, the gatekeepers. Honestly, it's also like security guards. The porters were people to make sure that nobody that wasn't supposed to be there was coming in and that there was no trouble in the land. And there's nothing new under the sun. You got all these different callings of God specifically laid out. You got porters, you got judges, you got officers, you got pastors, and the Lord's laying it out. I want everybody to figure out where you fall in this. Everybody's got a role. Everybody makes up the body of Christ. He says there were 4,000 porters, verse 5, and 4,000, listen to this, that praised the Lord with instruments. That's your job. You guys are going to be the singers. You're going to be the guitar players. David says they're to play the instruments which I have made. David's making instruments. He's got worship leaders, and they're there just to praise God. And David divides them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon and Kohath and Merari. Again, all a reflection of heaven. Revelation 5, we see harps. We see incense as we get this understanding of the heavenly scene from John the Revelator. We have a musical faith. There's nothing wrong with it. It's something that is wonderful about our experience in the Lord. We have songs and hymns that we sing to the Lord. We're called to make a joyful noise to the Lord. David loves worship. We're going to see that over and over again through this. He's a worship leader. At the end of his life, he wants to be called the sweet psalmist. Not the giant slayer. I'd probably, if I'm signing out, if I'm getting ready to drop the mic and I'm David, this David, I'm going to say I'm the one who killed the big giant. Like, he beat up a lion. He beat up a bear with his hands. Like, he's got a lot of things on his resume. A lot of things. Expanded the nation's borders unlike any other king before him or after him. So much could be said. He says this, I want to be known as the sweet psalmist of Israel, the songwriter. Love to worship God. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. That's what he says. Lord, I'd rather be a gatekeeper in your house. I'd rather open the doors of the sanctuary and let people in than do anything else. Lord, riches and kingdoms and women, they mean nothing compared, Lord, to your presence, which is sort of what we just sang, Heart of David. And now it says here, it's going to break it down, and I know you guys are jonesing for me to like take you through every name. I'm not going to do it, though. I'm not going to give in to the temptation of blessing you guys with the reading of every single name. But from verse 7 down to verse 11 is a description of the family of the Gershonites. And you see that there as it starts in verse 7, of the Gershonites were, and then starts to name everyone's name that's a part of this ministry. Again, you're bored with it because your name in it. But if your name was in this, you'd be like, look, you'd be showing everybody next to you. You'd be turning around, my name's right here. Look at this. You'd have it highlighted. You'd have it underlined. It'd mean the world to you. For these people who are coming out of Babylonian captivity, this meant everything to them. They're finding their identity. Look at this is the calling of God. It's a generational calling. This is my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my father's house. Like, I'm from this line. This is the call of God for me. And there's this excitement. Listen, there should be that excitement for you, too, when God solidifies your calling. What are you? Are you a preacher? Are you a teacher? Are you a worship leader? Are you a songwriter? Are you a friendly, hospitable person who opens doors? Are you a security person? Do you love children? Do you tend to the babies? Do you want to go make drinks for people in the cafe? Like, what is your ministry? Are you an evangelist? Are you, like, always wanting to take tracts and Bibles and go on the streets and hand them out? Like, God should be speaking to you his calling, and there should be a stirring. There's nobody here who has no calling. Everybody has a calling. You're all part of the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. Then you have something to contribute. Nobody here is just brought into the kingdom just to be a bench warmer. Nobody. Nobody here, if you got air in your lungs, I said this last week, I'll say it again, that means that God has plans and purposes for you. He's not done with you. The way that you'll know he's done with you is when you see his face. You'll be in his kingdom. That means that your time on earth is over when he brings you home. If he hasn't brought you home yet, because I know some of you lost your spouse, you're a widow, you're a widower, and I've had so many say to me, why am I still here? God took my wife, God took my husband, because he's not done with you. Their testimony's over, yours isn't. God still has plans and purposes for you. He's still going to use your life. So you should be just as excited as these people were. What am I? What's my gift? Am I an intercessor? Maybe that's your gift. I just love to pray, you say. Pastor, I want to pray. I want to tell me the needs of the people. What's going on? Who's in the hospital? Who's sick? Who's broke? Who needs God's intervention in their lives? Maybe you love to pray for people. Everyone has a niche in the kingdom. Everybody's got something that God wants them to do that only they could do. Not that you can't be replaced, not that I can't be replaced. If I throw my Bible down and I walk off the stage at 7:40 a.m. on Wednesday night, the church ain't going to collapse. It's not, it doesn't rise and fall with me. Somebody else will right away step in, and onward, upward, this church will go. Not a problem. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But at the same time, I am suggesting that there is only one me. Thank God. And there is only one you. And God has made you fearfully and wonderfully, according to his blueprints, how he wanted you to be. And he wants to use your antics, your isms, your idiosyncrasies, your annoyances, your giftings. He wants to use your, if you're a downer, if you're bubbly, he wants to use you in a way that only he could use you. And it will be truly a unique way. It will be a very unique way. My staff and I were talking about this morning. It would just be something that God, I remember when I first started teaching in the sanctuary, subbing in as a 17, 18-year-old kid. My dad was the pastor, so I would stand behind the pulpit like he would. And no one in the church at the time moved around like I do now. Everyone that subbed stood behind a pulpit with a stationary mic. And I remember having to hold on to that microphone with everything I had, and I was preaching like this and all over the place, and I was so uncomfortable trying to just be what everybody else was and just trying to keep it very teachy instead of preachy, which is more my nature. And I remember some of the older guys, because I was a teenager, just sort of shoot little javelins at me like Saul did to David. He was...
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.